Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church, and special welcome to those who are visiting us today for the first time or listening online. My name is Young Lan, and helping me in today's service are musicians Rosemary Trevor, and reading us from the Bible is Leo, and Diane will lead us in prayer, and Trevor will bring us our Bible teaching. We here at Abbotsford Church, Abbotsford Anglican, a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way, or at least we try hard, according to His Word, the Bible. So we invite you to know God with us today. So just introduction to Bible teaching today, Trevor. If you don't mind.
Thanks, Young Lan. Well, the next little slide will just show the first one. We're starting a little Bible series on going back to basics. It's a great opportunity to bring people to church along and hear the basics. And today we're asking this question, what is this book of the Bible? And what is it? You know, and what do we know already about it? But what's important about actually knowing the Bible?
So February, we have Mission Focus, which is Special Religious Education and Anglican School Chaplaincy. So Trevor and Fiona and Irene, as a helper, go to schools in Russell Lee and Abbotsford. I'm not sure which day you do.
That's Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah, every week.
And we're starting back on the 20th of February.
Excellent. And they do this very important work, because I know by the statistics say that a lot of times their faith started at school. Listening to God's word. So we please continue to pray for Trevor and Fiona and Irene, please. The sentence of scripture for today is, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Psalm 119 and verse 1. Okay, so please stand, and we're going to sing the first song, or for a thousand tongues to sing.
Sing a big, great hymn. Praise the triumph.
Let's say together. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Savior Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So now, Trevor, kids' corner.
It's good to have a little fun time in our time of church. We'll be doing this over this little time of going back to basics. What is this book, the Bible? And this is not a rhetorical question. I want to ask you, what would you call the Bible? Over to you. Yell out your answer and I'll repeat them here. What is this book, the Bible? A learning book. A learning book, okay? What would you learn from it, Glennon? Okay. What love is, okay? And honesty. Thanks, Glennon. What is this book, the Bible? Yep. Okay, God's manual for how we should live life God's way. Okay, yep. Anything else? A sacred book, a holy book, yep. Something else? God's Word, okay. The Bible is a book of many, many books. It's a book, yes. That's what the word biblion comes from. It simply means book and from Greek. And does anyone know how many books actually make up this big holy book called the Bible? Anyone know? 66. Well done, Irene. Those of us who are in Bible study on Thursday night would know this. All right, okay. Pretty simple stuff here, but some of us don't know this. It has 66 books. But the Bible's firstly divided into two sections. What's one of the sections called? Old Testament. How would you explain the Old Testament to someone who doesn't know the Bible? How would you explain that to somebody? Happenings before Jesus. Okay. Other one. The history of the Israelites and their relationship with God over history. Yep. All right, what's the other section? The New Testament. All right, how would you explain the New Testament to someone who doesn't know what the Bible is? Okay, when Jesus came into the world, all right, okay. You don't know? Don't be backward. You know me now for 5 years, come on. It's the early church, yeah, okay, yeah. Right, okay, all right, those are the things, yeah, okay. All right, so here we go. It's divided into two sections, the Old and the New Testament. And as you've said, it's a book of many books, 66 in all. How many know that are in the Old Testament? How many? 39. Have we gotten that? 39, actually. Here's an easy way of remembering 39. Okay, everyone put your fingers up and spell old. Your left hand or your right hand. I'll do it the old way, so you're looking at me. Your left hand, put it up and go old. O-L-D. How many letters does that make? Great. Okay, now put up your right hand and go Testament. Oh, you're testing my spelling now. Here we go. T-E-S-T-A-M. Oh, okay. E-N-M-E-N-T. How many is that? 9. All right. So how many is in the Old Testament? 39. It just happens to be that. It's nothing about that, all right? This happens to be 39. But here we go. What's 3 9s? That's how many are in the New Testament. So there's 39 in the Old and 27 in the New. And again, that's nothing sort of like, ooh, that's a pretty amazing thing. It's just it's the way it is. There's 39 and 27, and it's an easy way to remember it. It's God's Word, the Bible, as Manette said, and it's about so that we might know how to live in relationship with God and with each other. Now, on Thursday night at our Bible study group, we asked the group to bring in some questions about the Bible, and Adele wanted us to learn the Bible books in a fun way, as kids would learn it, all right? And so we got on the internet and we found these ones. So here is how we learn the books of the Old Testament, all right? And as it goes through, just notice that the books of the Bible in the Old Testament are divided into sections, into literary sections. I'm going to ask you at the end, what are those literary sections. Here we go.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi.
Hey, all right. What are the five groups that make up the books of the Old Testament? How have they been sorted into a library of sorts? What are the five? What's one of them?
History.
Do you remember which ones were history, Glennon? The very first ones, the red or the yellow ones? Oh, try again. Red or the yellow ones, all right? It's the yellow ones. They're the history. Yeah, okay. All right. Law, which ones were those ones, Diane? The red, yep, first five. All right, and what's another lot? Poetry and wisdom, Kristen. Yeah, poetry and wisdom. That's which group was our colour? The purple ones, yeah. So when you open up your Bible, right in the very middle, and you come to the Psalms, or to the book of Job, or to Solomon, or Ecclesiastes, they're wisdom literature, and that's how they've classified all those books together, all right? What about the green ones? What are they? The major prophets, yeah. And the last group? Minor prophets. Does anybody know, apart from Thursday night Bible study group, why is it called major and minor? Does anyone know? Irene wants to answer. You're on a Thursday. All right. Does anybody know? It's called major because they're the bigger books only. All right. They're bigger books. Major. And all the other ones are smaller. Okay. And that's the only reasons why they're that classified together. All right. We'd like things to be in chronological order, going from Genesis right through, but they're not. It's all combined together in literary form of what type of style. If you're actually wanting a chronological order of how to read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, I have copies of those available and I can email them to you. All right, here we go. What about the books of the New Testament? How many books in the New Testament again? 27. Well done. Here we go.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and the letter to the Romans. 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Galatians and Ephesians. Philippians, Colossians. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. 1st and 2nd Timothy. Titus and Philemon. Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, Jude and Revelation.
Yay. Okay, all right. What are the five, what are the five groups? Let me go back to that one. What were the five groups in the New Testament? Gospels, yep, all right, that were the first four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Okay, Gospels, the eyewitness accounts or thereabouts of by witnesses of the life and teaching of Jesus and the person Jesus. All right, what's another one? Sorry? Paul's letters. Yeah, which colour were they? I'm trying to go back to them if I can get them. I don't think I can get the picture up again. Now, what colour were they? No, I think they were green. They were green, yeah. And in Paul's letters, they're actually divided into two sections as well. There's letters that are written to the churches. They're the first lot that are in your New Testament. And then the ones that follow after that are letters to individuals. Okay, that's how they've been classified together. Okay, what was the yellow section? History. And that book was the book of Acts. Gospels is history too. And of course, all the other bits, everything in it is history. but they're specifically talking about a period of time and the story unfolding over time. Right, and then the last lot, there was a prophecy, yeah, that's the book of Revelation, yeah. And general letters, why were they, do you think they're called just general letters? Not that they're any, they're just as important as everything else, but why general letters? Yeah, and because there's a whole lot of different writers in there too, all right? So there we go, all right. That's a little walk through the Bible in terms of background there. See, please come and tell me if you didn't know some of those things. I actually assume you don't, all right? So there's some of the things there that are new, and that's good to know new things about it, all right? Here we go, one of Colin's songs, one of my favourite ones. All right, we're going to do a bit of exercising. So I've become, stand up, we're going to sing and sing again. And I'm making sure the sound is down so we don't blast everyone's ears like we did last week. All right, so here we go.
Colin Buchanan.
Well, you're gonna get lost, and it won't take long if you don't take a map to kick a tin along. You'll be lost in the scrub quick as can be if you don't take a map to up a gum tree. And if we read God's word, we'll know the way to live for Jesus and obey. We'll only know the way to go if we read God's map, the Bible. Winding road, and you're gonna get stuck if you don't take a map to chuck a sack of muck. And if you head out back, you'll meet your match if you don't take a map to hack a bad patch. And if we read God's word, we'll know the way to live for Jesus and obey. We'll only know the way to go if we read God's map, the Bible. Same when you go to catch a dingo, or when you take the track to cop a bit of flack, or when you wanna be at Yelda Cooey, you can't go wrong if you take a map along. And if we read God's word, we'll know the way to live for Jesus and obey. We'll only know the way to go if we read God's map.
On that note, please take a moment to say hello and greet people near you. And the children will leave us now for their Bible study. Please join me. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is 2 Timothy 3:14, 4, 5, verse 5. Please open your Bibles to page 1199 or follow along on the screen or from handout from News and Notes.
We're reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct and rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone, again, and welcome. It's good to see you all. Please turn to your Bibles there. Open them up again, if you've already opened them up, or to the handout that's inside your leaflet, inside the news and notes. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14, and beginning at verse 14. Okay, you've got it there in front of you? I hope so. Good. The letter of 2 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul and to a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy had been placed in charge of a number of churches, and this little letter, with the letter of 1 Timothy and Titus, form what's called the pastoral epistles, the pastoral epistles. Pastoral because the content of the letters, is about what a minister is to do in caring for his congregation, like a shepherd would for their sheep. And epistle just simply means a letter. In the letters, Christians become aware, in these letters, these pastoral epistles, Christians become aware of the responsibilities of clergy and of the congregations in their care. We also learn about the place and purpose of the Bible, referred to as the Word or the Scriptures or the Holy Scriptures, and how they are to be revered and used and their purpose in the life of the local church. The purpose of today's Bible teaching is to remind us of those two things: to become aware of the responsibility of clergy and to be reminded of the responsibility of congregations in the light of the Word and the Scriptures in the place of the church. It's also to remind us to encourage each other, to be mindful of that, and to put the Bible's teaching into practice in the life of our church and in our own daily lives as well. Not to be merely hearers of the word, but practices of it. So let me pray to begin with. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for your word, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. We thank you especially for what we learned from it. Help me now to teach it correctly and for us to experience your Holy Spirit guiding us into truth and putting it into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, have you ever been lost? Have you ever been lost? Yeah. Glennon, when were you lost, mate? All right, when you were a bit younger or just recently? I got lost a lot. I was a lot younger too. I can still remember walking around with people in grey pants and an ice cream in my hand, looking, waiting for my mother, calling out to us, waiting, hoping she'd turn up like Superwoman. Yep. Have you been lost in the bush? Anyone been lost in the bush? Yep. Okay. What about overseas on a holiday or a trip somewhere? You've been lost overseas? That'd be pretty scary, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, very scary. Yeah. What about on your way to someone's place to go to an event, you know? Google Maps just didn't work. Serena just didn't know the right way to go, all right? You ever been lost like that? Yeah. Okay. As our fun song reminded us earlier on by Colin, You're going to get lost, and it won't take long if you don't take a map to kick a tin along, all right? The Bible is God's map for Christians, for how to live life God's way. And we here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, we say at the beginning of each church service, it's there in our understanding of who we are. We are a people who want to live life according to God's word, the Bible. Is that true of you? Yes, I hope it is. Well, it should be, as we'll soon see, all right? We are a people who choose to live life according to God's word, the Bible. And that's what Christians do. And living life God's way is living life according to the Bible. The Bible is our map to how to live in relationship with God, in the world, and with each other. Have you ever been with somebody on a trip somewhere and they tell you, pointing to a map or to Google Maps, put that away, put that map away. I know where I'm going, only to find out they don't. And you turn up late to where you're actually going, or worse still, lost and not at all. Has that happened to any of you? All right. Anyone want to point the finger to anybody? All right. Okay. Well, you would have heard in our Bible reading this morning that Leo read out to us. Look there at verse 3 of chapter 3, verses 3 and chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 there, in regards to living life according to the Bible. I trust you have your Bibles open, or that handout in front of you. The time will come, writes Paul to Timothy, when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Okay? A time will come, Paul writes to Timothy, when people will not want to live according to God's word, the Bible. They will turn their ears away from the truth, and they'll gather around them a great number of people who will just teach them how they want to live life. It wouldn't have taken Timothy that much long. It wouldn't have taken him that long to realize, as he read the letter, for him to realize that that was what his world was in the first century. And that it's true of all generations that have followed, and true of our own generation today and will be of tomorrow, until the Lord comes again. People will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what they want to hear. Okay. They will turn their ears away from the truth to myths, to whatever they want to believe. But what I find as an awakening in all of this is that the Apostle Paul was not only talking about people in the world, and I'm sure that's where your thoughts went straight to. Yes, Trevor, that's exactly what the world's like. But no, Paul has not only the world in mind, but he has the church, and he has Timothy in mind too. And primarily so. For Paul is writing to Timothy, the clergyman, and to the congregations in his care about what will happen there. For Paul is writing not to and about the world only, but to the church, to Timothy, who is entrusted with the responsibility of teaching, correcting, leading, and caring for a number of churches in the first century. Sadly, as we look around the world today and look at the worldwide church today, that is so true. Even as we look into our own denomination within Australia. Rosemary and I drove down to Goulburn yesterday to visit Rosemary's older brother, Jeffrey, and his wife, Celia, who has recently just returned from Hong Kong. Along the way, I contemplated switching on the cruise mode. You know that little one on the thing? You know, it's a long trip down to there, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I'll switch on the cruise mode and just do that. However, I chose not to because there was quite a bit of traffic around me, a lot of number of cars going around me, and I thought if I had to, I'd have to switch it off and on, back and forth again, over and over again. I actually like the cruise mode. Hand up if you like the cruise mode. If you put it in a few times, all right? Yeah, the cruise mode. Yeah, I like the cruise mode, especially on the long drives on open highways with little or no traffic around about. You know, it's a time where you can actually just take your foot off the accelerator pedal and then lock it in at a certain speed and just rest the foot. Okay. The danger, however, of cruise mode is that it's not meant to be on all the time. Okay, it's not meant to be on all the time, and we're not to be in it all the time. If we don't watch out for the time when to put the foot back onto the brake again and slow down to the traffic and the speed that's around us, we will certainly have an accident. We could cause our own injury and or death, or the injury or death of a loved one or of someone else. The danger of the cruise mode. One of the dangers we can easily fall into as Christians is becoming so familiar with the Bible or so content with not being familiar with the Bible that we go into a kind of cruise mode. We rely on what we remember. We switch off to simply trusting God with the driving of our lives. Now, don't get me wrong. That's a right and good thing to do, to actually simply trust God with the driving of our lives. But not to the extent that we forget to take responsibility for it ourselves. We become unaware of our surroundings, what we allow ourselves to hear, what we allow ourselves to see, what we allow ourselves to believe or not believe, or what we want to just hear or see. And if we're not observant, and if we're not actively engaging in taking responsibility for the driving of our lives God's way according to the Bible, tragedy awaits. And we only have ourselves to blame. If you have not opened your Bible in the last week and sought to actively engage in learning of God and the way to live life God's way by reading it, hearing it, thinking it, and praying how to put it into practice, if that's not something that you have done in the last week, if you're half asleep now, okay, and you're thinking, I've heard all this before, I don't need to hear this, but I have not opened your Bible in the last week and sought to actively engage in learning of God and the way to live life His way by regularly reading it, hearing it, thinking and praying how to put it into practice. If you think, well, I'm come to church today and that's the time in my week when I do that, I don't hesitate to tell you, you are in cruise mode. But by the grace of God, you're in grave danger of becoming lost in life, or worse still, a danger to yourself and to others. If, however, you are regularly and actively engaging with God in His Word, learning of God and the way to live life His way according to His Word, you will be finding it hard to do. You will be finding it difficult. You will find that there will even be people who will make it hard for you. You'll be going through all sorts of temptations of thinking, this is too hard, I can't do this, cruise mode is far easier, this is hard work. You may even be getting opposition. What is this book, the Bible? Yes, it's a book of many books. And yes, it's a holy book. It's God's word, the Bible. Yes, so that we might know how to live in relationship with him and with each other. But to the church we read, look there at verses 14 to 17. As for you, continue in what you have learnt and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And to we, the clergy, what does Paul write? He says, verse 1 there of chapter 4, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. What is this book? Yes, it's a book of many books. Yes, it's a holy book, a sacred book. Yes, it's God's word, the Bible. It's a map for how we are to live life in relationship with God's people, in the world, and with each other. We're going to get lost, and sure as can be, if we don't take a map to kick a tin along, said Colin. And if you read God's word, though, you will know the way to live for Jesus and obey. We'll only know the way to go if we read God's map, the Bible. Let me pray. Blessed Lord, you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Grant that we may in such wise hear them read daily. Mark them in our lives, what we learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, protect us from cruise mode, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in saying Psalm 119, 1 to 8 together. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame. When I consider all your commands, I will praise you with a right heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Glory to God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, so now and forevermore. Amen. Please stand and let us sing the second song.
This is a song, a hymn. Again, it's more so of a hymn. But again, reminds us that God has spoken. He He's not left us to ideas. In the past, he spoke through the prophets. In the past, he spoke through his son, Jesus. He revealed God in all his fullness. And now he speaks through those who witness Jesus in his word, the Bible, expounded.
Remain standing as we say together what we believe. Do you believe in God the Father?
We believe in God,
the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son?
We believe in Jesus Christ,
God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
Come to judge
the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray that all mankind may be enlightened by the gospel. God of power and life, glory of all who believe in you, fill the world with your splendour and show the nations the light of your truth. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Eternal God, shepherd of your people, we feel the fleeting passage of life and know how fragile our existence is on this tiny planet. We confess with the prophet Isaiah, all flesh is grass, and all its glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall. Yet we also confess the word of our God stands forever. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. In our human frailty, we look to you as frightened children look to their mother, for you alone can comfort and sustain us. Have mercy on us, O God. Hear our cries to you, our loving Father, and lead us all as pilgrims through the darkest valley into the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Loving God, without you we are not able to please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God of the nations, whose sovereign rule brings justice and peace, have mercy on our broken and divided world. We pray especially today for Palestine and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, where war continues, and for the rebellion and rioting across the world in so many countries, especially South Africa and South America. We also ask for prayer for the people in the Philippines who have recently experienced landslides, for those who are still missing, and all the 5,300 people affected by this disaster. We also praise you, Lord, for the one little girl who was rescued on Friday. We pray for Pakistan following their recent elections. Bring clarity to the results and give them wisdom in deciding on collaboration to form government between the major parties. 250 million people are relying on their leadership to restore peace and unity to their nation. Let truth and justice prevail among them. Amen. We also pray for the family, friends and community in East Ballarat who have been searching for Samantha Murphy, who has now been missing for a week. Bring comfort to her children and husband during this time, and in your will may she be found soon. We pray for all the children and their teachers and school staff as they have been returning to their learning. We pray that truth and wisdom may be pursued, prized and celebrated. Give teachers the wisdom they need to address the learning needs of each individual in their classes, children the curiosity to learn many new things and companionship with each other, compassion for each other, and the joy of learning. Almighty God, who commanded us to love you with all our mind, look with your gracious favour, we pray, on the teaching of special religious education in our two local schools, Russell Lee and Abbotsford, on those who teach scripture, and upon all those who are Anglican school chaplains in Anglican schools. May the children hear your word, enjoy their lessons, and grow in their relationship with you. Bless them with a recognition that the world they study is created, sustained, and redeemed by you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for our Mayor, Michael Megner, and Deputy Mayor, Joseph Cordaro, of Canada Bay Council, and all council members, that they maintain a work-life balance while serving us here in Canada Bay, and that they are able to bring wisdom, skill, imagination, and energy to their roles. Almighty God, giver of life and health, hear our prayers for those in our church family who are sick or recovering from illness. May they be restored to health of body and mind according to your will. Maintain or increase their faith and their assurance of your love. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favour, and further us by your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, obtain everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom you and with you and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen.
Thank you, Diane. Now is our announcement time. So Mothers Union Sydney invites you to join us, join them for their annual seminar, free online via live stream. So it takes a village stronger together in the family of God. Learn about what the Bible says about being part of church family and how that impacts and influences our parenting. Did you want to say, Rosemary will come and tell a little bit of that.
Just going to say a little bit more about this. There's a sign-up sheet at the back of the church. We're going to be doing it online, so we're going to do it here online rather than go into the city and pack into the spaces they have there. But we still have to register everybody that's coming online so they know, you know, the numbers and things like that. So could you put your name down on the back sheet? And afterwards, it only goes for the morning, for a couple of hours in the morning. So afterwards, we're going to have lunch together. So if you'd like to come and stay for lunch, just write your name down next to that as well. So that's on the 23rd of February, on Saturday the 23rd. No, Friday the 23rd, Friday. Just one more thing quickly, which isn't in there. Our son Timothy is being ordained next Saturday. As a deacon in the Anglican Church, he's taken up his first position as assistant minister at Minchinbury Anglican. So could you just please keep that in his prayers? It's a very special thing for us, for him and his wife and our family. Thanks.
Thanks, young man. Thank you. As you go today, I'll be handing out the Southern Cross magazine to you as you leave the door. This is, again, the magazine, as you all know. It just keeps us up to speed with what's going on in the rest of the diocese. And it's good to know what's happening in our own little world, but this just widens our perspective of what's going on in the Anglican Church throughout Sydney and usually around the, Australia as well. Also in your bulletin today, you'll notice that in it, it's got what is our church's medical emergency procedure. In other words, what will happen if you or I have a medical episode, emergency happens in our first. And it's fairly self-explanatory about what happens, all right? So please read that and be familiar with that. We want you to be able to come back to church the next week without feeling any embarrassment, but knowing also that you've been treated well and dignified and health has come to you, all right? Got any questions about that, please see me. Also, Trevor, how can we keep up to speed with reading God's word regularly and not fall into that habit of going into a cruise mode? Well, in the bulletin every week will be a Bible study on the passage of Scripture that has been taught that previous Sunday. You can either do it in one lot during the week in your own home or in your home group or in your Bible study group. There is an opportunity, a way of helping you to do just that. If you want to spread it over a week, and then just think about two questions and then do another two questions the next day and so forth like that. You can also read ahead to what's happening next week and pray accordingly for that and for who might be preaching that or reading the scriptures on that. And you'll find that at the bottom of the third page on your news and notes as well. Service next Sunday. Next Sunday is, how do I know I'm right with God? We're going to go back over the gospel again to know how we're right with God. And this will be a good opportunity for maybe, if God places on your heart, to bring someone to church to hear the gospel explained clearly to them of what Jesus has done for them. They can come along. You can read that passage and pray accordingly. Thanks, young man.
Thank you, Trevor. Oops, sorry. We know how precious it is to get together once a week in the church for Bible study. You know, that keep us in check. And so we would really invite you to join one of the Bible studies too. Is there any? Yes. So thank you for regularly supporting Anglican Church Abbotsford financially to continue to do God's work in this community. So if you'd like prayer after service, Tony and Coral will be happy to pray for you. So please come to the front of the church. And, you know, we hear a lot about COVID these days coming up, surging. So please keep distance for morning tea and continue the fellowship. So that's the last song. Please stand and sing.
Again, this is a familiar song, hymn, that I think most of us would have known this one. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid
a beautiful song. This sentence of scripture for today is, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Psalm 119:1. Let's say this again. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you.